Good morning, good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Monica, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. And today is Friday, January 31st, 2014. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We are starting the chapter, There Is a Solution, and we are on page 17, the very first paragraph. And today's readers are The 12 Steps, Diane, The 12 Traditions, Elizabeth, and then Marita, Sharon R.S., Hoodie, and Kim. And the share code for yesterday, Thursday, the 30th, is 5841. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Diane to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, this is Diane from New Hampshire. 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Diane. I will now ask Elizabeth to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. My name is Elizabeth. Compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Marita. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinent requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we are resuming our study of the Big Book. And we are starting a new chapter here this morning, Chapter 2, There Is a Solution. And we're on the very first paragraph, We of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I will ask Marita to please start reading.
Good morning, Monica. Good morning, Vision for You. This is Marita, a compulsive overeater in Virginia, recovered. Chapter 2, There Is a Solution. We of Alcoholics Anonymous know thousands of men and women who were once just as hopeless as Bill. Nearly all have recovered. They have solved the drink problem. Oh, wow. So this is a very hopeful paragraph starting off this chapter. First off, there's the title of the chapter that makes no bones about it. They're about to explain to us that there is a solution. They're just stating the plain fact. And in the first edition of this book, where it says thousands of men and women, it said 100 men and women, because back in 1939, that's how many people had received this solution and actually been able to solve their drink problem in the few years that after Ebby spoke with Bill in the kitchen. And that was phenomenal then. But then after when the second edition in 1955 was released, there were thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of people who had gotten this same solution, taken it to heart, worked it, and also solved their problem, the obsession with drink or with food and or with whatever that they were working the 12 steps to help alleviate in their lives. So because this has been around for so long and we're all used to thinking about it, that this has happened, it's happened for so many people, it doesn't feel like a super big deal anymore. But it really is. I mean, this is an absolute miracle for every single one of us who have had the obsession lifted. It is an absolute life-changing miracle. And it's a simple statement that they're making here. So even that can sort of make it feel like not that big of a deal. But we all know that it is. Every single one of us were as hopeless as Bill. And nearly all who really work this program have recovered. Now, that's sort of talking about the statistics that we were quoted back in the preface, where originally in the program, you know, out of four people coming in, two of them got recovery right away. And of the two remaining, one of those got recovery after a little bit, a few slips. And of the quarter remaining, the one guy outstanding, if he didn't get recovery, his life changed dramatically because of this program. So I don't know that OA can uphold that kind of statistic, but the people that I know who have worked this program, nearly all have recovered. That's the great news that this chapter is bringing us. Thanks so much for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Marita. Would anyone else like to share on this paragraph?
This is Bella.
Bella, Pittsburgh.
I heard Bella, and I heard Lauren.
Yeah.
Okay, Bella, go ahead.
Thank you. My name is Bella, and I am a thankful recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, Monica, for leading this meeting, and thank you very much, everybody that is on the line. I love this paragraph. It's a paragraph, with a lot of hope, and to me, it brings me this sentence, who were once just as hopeless as Bill. It reminds me, thank God, to live one day at a time. And I am choosing to live the present and not to live in the past. And and again, to blame everybody and to judge everybody and to say, oh, I am like this because of my mother, because of my childhood, because of my teachers. Not anymore. It was where once it was the past. Now, thank God, I want to live the present, and the present is a gift. Yes, God is trusting me, and he continue to trust me and to give me more opportunities. I don't have to carry on my past and my mistakes that I did and my wrong things. Not anymore. I am choosing to live the present. And my present now is to know that I don't have control, that I am powerless, and I am, my new goal in life is to be connected to God, to build my connection to God. This is the present, and this is a gift. And I am choosing to accept my life as a gift from God and to appreciate it and to say thank you for everything that I do have in the present. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Bella. Lauren, go ahead.
Hi, Lauren S. from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, recovered compulsive overeater. On the top of my page, what helped me is I was told to write this. We're in step one right now from the book. Review the 12 steps and how it works on page 59 and consider these two questions from page 58, paragraph 2, for each step. Is this what I want to do? Am I willing to go to any length to do this? And I want to jump on this now before we get it even further, because I was reading, and I want to bring up two quotes from two of the personal stories. One of them's on page 299, paragraph 3, and this is a good definition of what it means to be willing. In The Housewife Who Drank at Home, one of her friends says, "Why don't you try Alcoholics Anonymous?" And she says to herself, "I was willing to try anything. I was licked. For the second time, I was licked. The first time was when I knew I couldn't live without alcohol. But this second time, I found I couldn't live normally without it, and I was licked worse than ever." Relate that to food for you, for me. And secondly, on page 316, this is the attitude that I think is crucial to do the work. On paragraph 1, the author of My Chance to Live writes, "It was my time, my chance to live, and I took it. If there had still been joy in my drinking or compulsive overeating, or even a remote chance of the joy returning, I would not have stopped drinking when I did." So my attitude when I came in, and especially when I started the step work in March of 2013, was there's no joy. There's no joy left for the food. The food is not a lover I'm giving away. It's not a relationship. It's not a best friend. I don't miss it. The food is rat poison. It's going to kill me. I don't miss it. It's what's going to lead to my death if I ingest it. And today I'm neutral around food. I see my roommate eating it, and I am, that's okay with me. I'm okay with it. But the attitude and the willingness I had from this start was, I cannot live without the food, but I can't live with it. There is no joy in binging anymore. No joy at all. And I'm willing to go to any lengths at all to recover. Okay, thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Lauren. Well, this is Monica. And here we are today, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater, and here we are starting chapter 2. There is a solution. Woohoo! What hope here? And what's definition for the solution is a way of resolving difficulty or an answer to a puzzle. Well, you know what? I was extremely puzzled when I walked into these rooms. I was puzzled because nothing was working. I was desperate. I was miserable. I couldn't do what I wanted to do, and I kept doing what I didn't want to do. That was definitely a puzzle. And they're saying here, there is a solution. We've got a way out. We've got an answer to this puzzle. We can show you the path out of this maze. And the first paragraph, we. Okay, again, those are the first 100 recovered alcoholics who help write this book say, we know thousands of others who were just as hopeless as we were, as you were when you walked in the door. And nearly all have recovered. What do they mean by recovered? They've changed. There's been a change. There's been a change in their personality, a change in their thinking, a change in their attitudes, a change in their behaviors. They have solved the drink problem. And so they're going to tell us in this chapter how we do this. Step by step, they're going to tell us. So hang on, everyone. Here we go. And would anyone else like to share on this paragraph?
It's Leah.
This is Kim.
I heard Leah and Kim. Go ahead, Leah.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everybody. Monica, thanks for your service. Good morning, everybody. My name is Leah. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Obviously, we're embarking on Chapter 2. There is a solution. So the big book is going to shout the good news that there is help, you know, there is hope. You don't have to continue to live the way you're living in the disease of compulsive overeating. It goes on to say nearly all have recovered, and I just wanted to focus on that statement because that's a common question on the line. You know, many of us identify ourselves as recovered, and often attendees at this meeting or newcomers are puzzled by that. It's uncommon language to them, not something that they have experienced, heard in their OA meetings. The big book, you know, consistently uses the word recovered and not recovering. In fact, the word recovering is only used once, and that's to describe someone who is still working through the steps and is not yet free from the bondage of alcoholism. So the word recovering is not utilized in the text except for once. It's the word recovered that is used. And the big book uses the word recovered because that word shows a complete change in one's attitude, in one's outlook. It's representative of a transformation. Nearly all have recovered. You know, it's the advertisement to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. I no longer have the illness I used to have. That's why I identify as recovered. I no longer have the illness I used to have. Now, of course, we all know because we study the text, it's a daily reprieve. I have a daily reprieve contingent on my spirituality, on the maintenance of my spiritual condition, on my implementation of steps 10, 11, and 12. But I have recovered from a seemingly hopeless condition of mind and body. And the compulsive overeater, the newcomer to this line who still suffers, deserves no less from me and no less from the others who have recovered. To identify ourselves as that, there is hope. You don't have to be an Overeaters Anonymous for years and for decades and still be tormented by the disease. There is a way out. And I don't say that full of pride. I'm humbled by the deep understanding and the realization that I was unable to accomplish this on my own, that I had to surrender completely and admit that I was powerless, and only then could I begin to find the power that has allowed my recovery and has enabled my recovery. You know, they have solved the drink problem, it says. This is about the raising of the dead. You know, I was enslaved by compulsive overeating. You know, how could I rise up out of that seemingly hopeless state of mind and body? This isn't a common experience, but it is our common experience that, you know, after engaging in this process, specifically steps 4 through 9, and having had a spiritual awakening and having been restored to sanity and having soundness of mind, I have been relieved of the obsession. I've been freed from the beast. Finally, after almost 2 decades of mayhem and madness, I walk this planet a free person because the mental obsession has been driven out. I've been restored to sanity. I'm no longer plagued in that way. My mind will no longer take me back to that which is killing me, as long as I maintain my spiritual condition, of course. So I just wanted to bring that up. That's why we utilize that term, recovered, on this line. We identify as recovered, because you deserve no less from me and no less from this program of recovery. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Leah. Kim, your turn. Go ahead.
Good morning, Monica. Good morning, all. My name is Kim G, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from South Jersey. There is a solution. I mean, that sounds kind of crazy, isn't it? I mean, I know I have a lot of problems. You know, and how could I have all these problems and there be a solution? But if I look back at my history, I always had a solution. Maybe one day it was a Dorito and one day it was a Ding Dong. It was always the food. I never remember in my life having a problem and thinking, the food's not going to fix this one. So how is it so crazy that it's the solution to every problem I've had up to this point in my life was to go to the food? And maybe there is a solution for that problem. That is the brilliance. That is the brilliance of this chapter. And if you look at the way this chapter is going to be broken down, it's broken down, the way I was taught, into 2 sections, 17 to 24, we're going to be taught about the problem. Because if we are not a compulsive overeater, if you are not as seriously alcoholic as I am, you may not have to do these steps. If you are the moderate eater or the heavy eater, which they're going to clearly describe in here, you might be able to go to a conventional diet program and just learn about nutrition. You might be able to come to meetings and to do tools and to just use, support, dieting with support, and you might be okay. But if you are the alcoholic of my variety, if you are seriously alcoholic as I am, you're going to need to find a solution that is beyond human aid. You're going to have a spiritual awakening. These steps are wonderful. But I am forced to do these steps. I am forced because of the twofold nature of my disease. The allergy of the body, which will never change, which is why I'm not cured. And the obsession of the mind, which will only be relieved with a spiritual solution. So that is what this is talking about. That word recovered, you know, Leah said recovering is only one time. I just looked it up in my iPad on my first version. It's 11 times we're going to hear that word recovered. And if we don't have that experience, if we're not having the solution that the obsession has been removed, if we do not have neutrality around the food, if we are cocky or afraid, if we are constantly fighting anything or anyone, we need to look at have we done these steps according to the directions. That's all it means. It's not a judgment. If you want to be free, you have to ask yourself how free you want to be and line yourself up with these clear-cut directions. I'm just going to read from page 101 where it says, assuming we are spiritually fit, we can do all sorts of things that alcoholics are not supposed to do. You know, I can go anywhere. I don't need to avoid people, places, and things. God has removed my obsession. I can walk around this world a free woman. And on page 101, it says, we meet these conditions every day. An alcoholic who cannot meet them still has an alcoholic mind. There is something the matter with his spiritual status. In our belief, any scheme of combating alcoholism which proposes to shield the sick man from temptation is doomed to fail. If the alcoholic tries to shield himself, he may succeed for a time, but he usually winds up with a bigger explosion than ever. So we have to ask ourselves, in that fifth tradition, you know, are we carrying this message? Are we carrying this solution? Or is my meeting, or am I carrying the fact that if I do enough tools, if I go to enough meetings, if I find the right sponsor, I don't know how many times I told someone I wanted to eat, and they told me to take a bubble bath. A bubble bath! That was supposed to be a solution to my problem of wanting to eat. We have to understand if we are still having obsessive thoughts, if we are abstinent and we are still crazy, we need to seek this solution. Because I tell you today, I do not suffer from compulsive overeating. I am a compulsive overeater, but I no longer suffer from this illness because I have walked through these steps. I have had a spiritual awakening, and I no longer want to eat the food. For years in LA, I thought it was, let me learn certain disciplines, and I will be strong enough to resist the food. Let me tell you today, the miracle of the 12 steps and the miracle of Overeaters Anonymous is I no longer want to eat my binge foods. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kim. Let's move on to the next paragraph. And Sharon R.S., would you read that, please? Star 1 to unmute, Sharon.
Okay, here I am. This is Sharon, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. We are average Americans. All sections of this country and many of its occupations are represented, as well as many political, economic, social, and religious backgrounds. We are people who normally would not mix, but there exists among us a fellowship, a friendliness, and an understanding, which is indescribably wonderful. We are like passengers of a great liner the moment after rescue from shipwreck, when camaraderie, joyousness, and democracy pervade the vessel from steerage to captain's table. Unlike the feelings of the ship's passengers, however, our joy in escape from disaster does not subside as we go our individual ways. The feeling of having shared in a common peril is one element in the powerful cement that binds us. But that in itself would never have held us together as we are now joined. So this is Sharon, recovered compulsive overeater. The thing that really stands out for me in this paragraph is the number of times that it refers to us collectively, to we, our, us. There's, I count that there are eight specific times that in this paragraph that it's referred to we or us or some form of the collective. And of course, this chapter begins with we. So this is something we do together. This is something we share in common. And that's been very real to me as I have gotten into this recovery program, because I was in the rooms for 10 years. I was in the OA rooms for 10 years. And I read the big book, and I saw that here in this big book, it talks about a fellowship. It talks about we. And even though I was in the rooms with other compulsive overeaters, I didn't necessarily feel that camaraderie that they talk about here, that surely it was their friendship and surely it was diverse. There was all walks represented in the rooms. But in terms of that fellowship, and I've wondered about that. What was going on? Why wasn't it? And I couldn't get recovery. And when I did get recovery, it was when I found a group of people that were all doing recovery together. We were all doing the same thing. What was different? One of the things was we all recognized that we had a disease. When I sat in the rooms for 10 years, I struggled to really know why I was, what was going on. I couldn't find the solution. But what I realize now is I didn't even really recognize the problem. I knew it had to do with food. I knew that when I had issues with food. And surely being in the rooms, I found some relief. I found some relief. And I made some good friends. And I found some good food plans. But I never found that recovery I craved. And one of the problems was that I didn't know what the problem was. I didn't completely identify in and recognize that I had an allergy of the body and an obsession of the mind. I didn't totally realize that I had a disease that was beyond my control, that it wasn't my fault. I didn't choose it. It was just a disease, and I had to treat it that way. And one bite would send me back into a spiral. I want to go to page 164 real quick here. And a vision for you that we read from every day. And right before we start at our book is meant to be suggestive only, right above that, it talks about fellowship. He will show you how to create the fellowship you crave. We all crave fellowship. The beauty of this recovery is that it's a fellowship. We all share in a common peril, but we'll learn that what binds us together is that we are, and we'll find out later, sharing in a common solution as well. But here, what stands out, I just want to end with this, is that we are all in this together. We do this together. We share this together. And it is the togetherness, it is this fellowship that we have together that makes us so powerful, that makes this recovery so powerful. And so we need to come out of isolation, come into fellowship, recognize that we're all in this together. We all share this the same disease, and we can all recover together. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Sharon. And would anyone like to comment on this paragraph?
Larry?
Rose. Eileen?
All right, I heard Larry, Rose, and Eileen. Go ahead, Larry.
Thanks, Monica. Larry, recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. you know, talks about escape from disaster would that would never have held us together, that in alone. You know, the question occurs to me that, you know, how can a guy like me that couldn't put the food down day after day after day for my entire life, you know, many years, how is it that I'm able to easily put the food down today? You know, how is this so? You know, what's the answer? It's a real puzzlement. What do I have to do? And, you know, thank God for this solution. Thank God for Overeaters Anonymous. I mean, in the doctor's opinion and Bill's story, we learn what the problem was. We're focusing now intently on what the solution is. And it's interesting because each morning, you know, we get on the line and we hear countless people declare, you know, they make a declaration that it's only by the grace of God, by their higher power, that we've not felt the need to pick up our binge foods for, you know, X number of days, weeks, years. And I suspect that, you know, it'd be hard to hear that over and over and over again and not begin to believe that indeed there's some power or some force in the universe that's made that possible. You know, I want to be on this ship, you know, and, you know, I don't want to jump off this ship like the Titanic, because I could do that as well. And, you know, the instant the newcomer sees this, their mind is open to a kind of a curiosity, and it leads to identification and investigation and willingness. And they cannot deny what they see in me and others, that by picking up this spiritual toolkit that was laid at my feet, the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, I've undergone a complete personality change sufficient to stop this disease, stop it dead in its tracks. And amazingly, I've stopped digging, you know, my grave with a spoon and a knife and a fork. As I've heard it said, you know, I love that analogy. You know, my dig today became an archaeological dig of my character defects, leading to restitution and a cleansing of my very soul. I didn't do that for myself. God did that for me. So what is this solution where we're together, we, not I, we, with God's help? You know, is it odd? Is it God? Remember, no human power can relieve me of my alcoholism. Not my power through self-will, trying harder. Not even yours through, you know, wishing recovery for me. But at some point in the evolution of OA, when we quit, I think, working this program in the book, sort of a self-defense, we began to measure success by the number of days you've been abstinent rather than by the quality of that sobriety. So in other words, you know, if my binge foods are down this morning, but I know in my heart that I'm not well, then what do I really have? Because I'll tell you, I can diet on this ship that we're on. I can diet with the best of you. I can exercise as insanely as anyone on this line. I challenge anyone to a contest to see who can hold their breath as long as me. Bring it on. But sincerely, you know, my life has been changed. I've experienced a total and complete transformation as a result of working these steps. And, you know, if you think in the beginning of AA, everyone was expected to work the program and have a spiritual awakening. And if they didn't do that, they were compassionately told, you might as well leave because we can't help you if you don't do this. So it was, you know, quality of sobriety versus quantity of sobriety. Because hanging around the rooms, you know, or on the lines for 5, 10, 15 years and subscribing to kind of a cafeteria approach, the salad bar approach, you know, take some, leave the rest. Now, their lives could be a bit better here and there, but, you know, you never know, you know, how they're going to be when you run into them. One day they're up, the next day they're down. I talk to these people. I love them all. It's kind of a yo-yo experience. You know, and if you've been around 10, 12, 15 years and they've never worked the steps, and they say, you know, if you want what we have and are willing to go to any lengths to get it, guess what? I don't want what you have. I love you, but I don't want what you have. I don't want more daily misery in and out of the food. I want to stay on the ship together. I don't want more resentment and fear and anxiety running my life or trying to psychoanalyze rather than have a spiritual awakening. No thanks. Did that, done that, didn't work. Nope. I wanted to maintain this vital spiritual experience. Yes, indeed, there is a solution. It's a miracle. It's not me. This wholesale miracle has happened. I'm not the miracle. The miracle is Overeaters Anonymous, and I get to participate in it, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Larry. Rose, you're next.
Thank you, Monica. This is Rose, recovered compulsive overeater in New York, and I still do have something to say, but it was just said, and how grateful I am to have been able to call into the meeting this morning. I also wanted to focus on actually the last sentence, but that in itself would never have held us together as we are now joined. The feeling of having shared in a common peril is one element in the powerful cement that binds us. And as was just said, for me too, it's God's power and presence. When I called in to the meeting, there were 222 people on the line, and I haven't been able to call in here for a while with my different things going on in life. And I heard Leia talking as I came on, and something just surged through me of gratitude, of connecting with everybody on this line this morning, hearing what was being said, and as was just mentioned, the quality of the recovery, and feeling so grateful that one for the meeting, but and then everyone that followed to speak, where I heard my people talking. I heard people talking about there is a solution, that this is the cement that binds me to everybody on this line. This is what I'm doing myself after having been in the program for a long time and receiving a recovery as the result of working these steps and God giving me the power and grace to be passing it on in my own life today. But it's I'd like to focus just on that power of God in my own life and in what is connecting us. And it isn't the words everybody just said, although I found them very powerful and grateful to have heard what was just said by everybody, but it's that power of God coming through in hearing the intensity of having learned what the problem is and what the solution is for recovery. And if I don't do it, or whomever wants a recovery doesn't do it, I never did get a recovery until I was brought to my knees and said, oh my God, and then I was then brought to the steps. So amen to there is a solution, and thank you God that I could get on the meeting here today and see what I can do about getting back a bit more often. And thanks, Monica, for your service. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Rose. And Eileen, you're up.
Thanks, Monica. This is Eileen, compulsive overeater from Bedford, Mass. This is a wonderful chapter. It talks about how, you know, many people from different denominations, religions, political backgrounds, economic backgrounds, are come together. And that the sentence I wanted to focus on here, but there exists among us a fellowship, a friendliness, and an understanding, which is indescribably wonderful. We're coming from a place, or at least I was, I'll speak for myself, of being an incredible isolator for 18 years. I was stuck in the sugar and flour until I realized that I was exposed to this program back in 86, but I didn't get it for a lot of years later. But there was a common solution. I heard it. I heard it when I first walked in these doors in 86. And Our joy and escape from disaster. And when I heard it, I was like, wow, my eyes like must have been like bugging out of my head. I was like, I can't believe it. These people, these other people do what I do with food. They stuff how they feel down. And there is no solution in it. And I have that in common with people, but I just wasn't willing to surrender the sugar and the flour. That's my story. That's my background. Not everyone's is like that. But it's the powerful cement that you have that common solution. It's the powerful cement that binds us together. And, you know, a lot of times I'll share at a meeting and people will walk up to me afterwards and talk to me. You don't find that in other places, because when you go to meetings, you open up yourself to people and you let them in. And then you get exposed and people want to give you support. That's what I love about this fellowship. You know, you'll find people all over the place who come from different backgrounds, lawyers, doctors, whatever. They come up to you and they talk because you're on your knees when you're into the food, crying for help, surrendering. And then, you know, the whole process of surrendering is just... totally a miracle. That's why I love this fellowship. Thanks for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Eileen. Would anyone else like to comment on this paragraph?
Karen?
Lois?
Janice?
Oh. It's Miriam.
Wait a minute.
Miriam.
Okay. I heard Lois. I heard
Sally.
Janice. I heard Sally. I heard somebody before Lois.
Karen.
All right. Karen, Lois, Janice, and Sally. Go ahead, Karen.
Hi, I'm Karen, a recovered compulsive overeater in Michigan. You know, having this book, just one woman with this book, you know, I find on the title page that this is a story of many thousands of men and women who have recovered. You know, right there catches me. And then on XI, it tells me it's a basic text. So if I'm one woman with this book, and what we read today, you know, that first paragraph we read, that caught me. It's, you know, they're telling me that thousands, not just a couple, thousands of men and women who were once as hopeless as Bill, and nearly all of them have recovered because they found they solved the drink problem. You know, that paragraph, if I'm just sitting here with this textbook, reading this book, that caught me. What a brilliant man Bill was to be able to put this book together. Because, you know, you got me right there. You're telling me that they recovered and they solved their drink problem? And I'm hopeless. I don't know what to do. And then you go on to tell me that you're average Americans and you're all sections of the United States, all occupations, all political, economic, and social and religious backgrounds. You can mix all these people together and they're okay with that? And then you tell me there's a fellowship and I'm going to find friendliness and understanding, something I've never had before. You know, I'm going to keep reading. I'm going to keep coming back. You know, and then that last part that, you know, they have the feelings they've shared in common, in a common peril, is just one element in the powerful cement that binds them together. But that would never, ever keep them together. And, you know, we haven't read it yet, but we're going to find out what keeps them together, what joins them. I just think this is a wonderful textbook, something... I don't know how to explain it. It just overwhelms and blows me out of the water that Bill, well, I'm sure it wasn't just Bill, he was inspired, put this together. You know, and I hear over and over on this meeting that, you know, if I just have this textbook alone, I can recover. It just amazes me. And I'm so grateful for all you people that come on here every morning at 7 a.m. for me. I don't know what I've done if I hadn't found this group. So I'm just grateful, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Karen. Lois, you're next.
Good morning, Monica, and everyone on the line. This is Lois, recovered in Massachusetts. And I, too, wanted to comment on that sentence, the feeling of having shared in common peril is just one element in the powerful cement that holds us together. But that in itself would never have held us together as we are now joined. Well, isn't that funny? I never knew that in the past. You know, I spent many years in the rooms of OA, and I gained the feeling of, you know, having shared in a common peril and applied some of those tools that I was taught, and I lost weight, and I felt wonderful, and I thought, you know, I thought I had it made. I thought I had found the solution. And I went on and on for a long time, and little by little, of course, you know, I did not recover. You know, a lot of my old ways came back. I had never changed. My weight came back, and I began to feel resentful, angry, irritable, hostile again. And I didn't know that I didn't know. And I didn't know that there was more to this because, of course, I had never picked up this big book. So, you know, I thought I had it made, and what I didn't know was I didn't continue in the next paragraph where we're going to be shown the solution. I knew what my problem was, and I thought I had it solved, and I felt great. And people around me, you know, seemed to feel great, too. So I just wanted to mention that, you know, if you're new and you're just coming back and you're listening to the Big Book Step Study for the first time or early in your life, you know, there is more to learn. That, you know, it wasn't for me, it was just, oh, good, I found out a great group. They, too, understood. I lost the weight, and now I'm cured and happy. Well, it didn't happen that way for me. I went on to many years still in my disease. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lois. Janice, go ahead.
Yes. Thank you, Monica. Just a few minutes here. My name is Janice, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And, you know, Bill is painting such a beautiful picture of a ship. Now, there's many levels of a ship. You know, the ones with more money will you know, spend more money on a balcony, et cetera. And it says, you know, but we. Now, we are all equal, but on the ship, you're not really equal. I mean, you know, you are and you're not. But here is a fellowship, which means there's people here that are in a common peril. Now, what is the common peril for me? Well, I didn't know this when I sat in the rooms, but yet it was great to hear people, you know, with sharing their experience, strength, and hope. But the common peril that I learned from the book was that I had a phenomenon of craving once I picked up that substance. I never really heard that. You know, like people have shared, you know, get the weight down, get this food plan. The real peril that binds us together, that nothing else matters, is that when we pick up that trigger food or substance, that we get a phenomenon of craving, which the doctor's opinion tells us that never happens in a normal eater. That's a big thing. That's the problem. Now, if we know the problem, that's one element. Now we're going to find out what the solution is. And, you know, I didn't find out what the real problem was in the rooms. But I do now know, and I have for a while. So with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Janice. And Sally, you're next.
Thank you. Good morning. A Vision for You. It's Sally, recovered in South Jersey. And a lot has been said, a lot of great comments have been said. I guess I just wanted to chime in here about this also, this last sentence. We've been reading on this page, this beautiful page about the we of this program, that we need each other and that we all are walking away from the same wreckage in some form or another. All of us who are recovered And those of us who are on the path to recovery, and if you're on this line, you are on the path of recovery. And we all are looking over our shoulder at what looks like a very bad car wreck. And it's basically a life badly burned. You know, page 133 talks about a body badly burned. But we can look over our shoulder and we can see, perhaps you can see as I see my own past, a life badly burned. And the dust is just still there from a wreck, the wreckage of my life. And so it's interesting for myself, too, as was just said a few moments ago, that I always thought it was the common peril that pulled us together, that tied us together, that we all sort of came from the same train wreck, you know, and just sort of like looked around with this feeling of, oh, my gosh, I'm still alive. What's going to happen now? But what we're going to see in this next paragraph is that it's actually the common solution that binds us together. And here we've got this word being woven through this page and certainly through our program, the we of it, just the blessing that we know that it's the common solution. It's the that binds us together. And I don't want to bleed into the next paragraph, so I just thank you for the opportunity to share. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Sally. And this is Monica. And so here we have been given a lot of hope here in just these first couple of paragraphs on this page. Great news here. Great news and great hope. So hang in there. You're going to hear more on the next adventure on Monday morning. So I'd like to thank everybody who shared. And we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Hoodie, can you read a vision for you, please?
Certainly, Monica. This is Hoodie, a recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you, Hoodie.
Yes.